All 50 states require some form of vaccination for primary education students, and 18 states allow for waivers for parents who object to vaccinations based on personal or religious beliefs. Idaho is one of those states, and a recent report issued by PLOS Medicine found the state leads the country in rates of immunization waivers. Joining us to discuss the public health importance of immunizations and to perhaps debunk myths surrounding vaccinations is Dr. Alicia Lachiando, a pediatrician with St. Luke's Children's Treasure Valley Pediatrics and a representative of Get Immunized Idaho. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Dr. Lachiando, we saw this statistic. 8 of the top 10 counties in the country with non-medical exemption rates are here in Idaho. What are some of the reasons parents can request a waiver?
They actually don't really need to have any reason. They can just say personal choice. A lot of parents will make that decision, whether it's on their own research or very rarely religious reasons, but parents can go to the school or when they're registering for kindergarten say, I don't want my child to be vaccinated. I want to sign an exemption.
So what happens? Who says this is valid or this isn't? Who approves? Who grants those waivers? And how often are they granted?
So the waiver process is actually easy and has gotten easier in the past year. In the past, there was a standardized form that was put together with information that parents had to read through and say, I acknowledge the risks that I'm taking by choosing not to vaccinate my child without a medical exemption. The school would then witness them signing that and take that on. At this point now, parents can sign any form that they want that says, I do not want my child to be vaccinated, file it with their child's school, and that counts.
And residents of our state are really taking advantage of those waivers. Some of those counties, Camas County, for example, has an exemption rate of 27% of that district's kindergarten students. That means more than a quarter of those kids aren't vaccinated. So your health profession says, whoa, there might be health risks posed to children and others in the classroom. What might those be?
Yeah, I think we were all, speaking at least for my colleagues, very shocked when those numbers were published. We knew that those non-medical exemptions existed, but didn't quite understand the amount in all of those counties. The biggest concern is something called herd immunity. Well, I guess there's two concerns. One is for the health of the individual child. So that means that a quarter of kids are very vulnerable to a host of diseases. The second part of that is they are putting other kids and other members of their community at risk by creating a low rate of vaccination in the whole community. And once numbers drop below a certain percent of vaccination, so depending on the disease, that number might be 90% of the community or less than 85% of the community is vaccinated against the disease, you have a much higher risk of an outbreak or an endemic disease in that area.
What do you find are some of the specific reasons parents choose not to get their kids immunized?
I think it really runs the gamut. I would say that there are a lot of parents who have multiple reasons or have a general distrust of the information that's been provided. I have a lot of families who feel that they feel like there's a lot of vaccines. They feel like it's too much for their kids, that it might be too risky based on what they've read on social media.
And let's jump into that.
Mm-hmm.
People think that they're getting a shot of the disease itself and that mm-hmm. they may contract that disease.
And yes, and the way it works is you are getting a shot of something that resembles the disease or a very small protein or something called an antigen from that disease. You're really trying to get the immune system to respond, but you want it to respond in a much lower way than it would if you were to have the disease. And a lot of parents see the number of vaccines that kids get in the first 2 years and think, that's a lot of things I'm putting into the body. But if you look at the actual number of antigens that are given on any of those vaccines or even combined, they are much less antigen load to the body than the common cold. And I tell families that a lot, and it makes sense because if you get a vaccine, you might have a low-grade fever, might feel a little sore, usually for 12 to 24 hours. But if you have a cold, you're going to have symptoms for 3-4 days and much broader symptoms. So explaining it that way to parents has been really helpful for me to allay some fears that they're overburdening a child's immune system.
So again, we go back to that statistic at the top of the hour, 8 of the top 10 counties in the country are here in Idaho. Is there something about the Idaho ethos that you think informs this?
I think there could be. I don't want to speculate beyond what my research has done. I think some of it might be lack of education. Some of it is lack of resources. A lot of the counties on that list have some of the lowest doctor per capita numbers.
So there's some access issues as well.
It's an access issue. There are lower rates of school nurses in a lot of those schools who can provide information, accurate health information. And I think you could look at it as well that some people might feel they're not as at risk because you're living in a rural place. You're not interacting with people at the same rate.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Dr. Alicia Lachiando, a pediatrician at St. Luke's Children Treasure Valley Pediatrics. And we'd like to hear from you. Have you applied for a vaccination waiver for your child? Do you have objections to mandatory immunization? You can reach us via email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. At Twitter, we're at KBSX915. Well, Dr. Lachiando, let's go over some of the nuts and bolts of childhood immunizations.
Sure.
Which ones are mandatory at which ages?
Well, that's a fairly complex schedule. What we now require, really, when we talk about mandatory, it is tied to school admission, so public school admission. So by kindergarten, you need to have a certain number of vaccines or complete a series of vaccines for multiple diseases. Those include hepatitis B, DTaP, so diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, Haemophilus influenza B, pneumococcal, hepatitis A, and I believe that's it. Polio, excuse me.
Well, some of those that you just mentioned, and we see this in scare films and sci-fi scare films, but we've seen outbreaks of some of those. Mumps, measles, meningitis.
Yes.
As a public health professional, do you think these are traced to lack of immunizations or might there be other reasons?
No, I think you can directly look at them as being linked to lack of immunization. So specifically, and I forgot to mention measles, mumps, rubella as one of those required vaccines. Measles is a very, very virulent disease. It spreads through aerosolized particles. So a person can have measles, breathe in a room, leave that room, and an hour later, someone can walk into that room and contract measles. And so to get immunity or herd immunity to protect those of us from it, you need to have somewhere between 90 and 95% of your community vaccinated against measles. Because if you don't, and somebody comes into that community, all of the people who are unimmunized for whatever reason, whether they choose not to be or can't be because of medical reasons, or whose immune system might not function properly and create memory immunity to the vaccine, they are all at high risk of contracting that disease.
So measles might be that one that you say, boy, that's the scare. If there's something that's going to really run rampant through this town, it's going to be that one?
I would put my money on measles or pertussis.
Pertussis, what is that?
Pertussis, or whooping cough, as it's more commonly known, is also an airborne illness. And pertussis is very sneaky as a disease because it doesn't show symptoms that are classic for pertussis until you're about 2 weeks into the course, long after you can actually treat it. And once the cat's out of the bag, you really can't make it better. You can only keep you from shedding the disease or passing it along. And it's called the 100 days cough. It's very annoying if you get it as an adult. You will have a long, prolonged coughing fits for 100 days. It keeps you from sleep. But it's incredibly scary if you get it under the age of 6 months.
This might be more of a legal question, but what happens if I don't get my child immunized and I don't file for any waivers? Is there any threat, a repercussion for me?
There's no repercussion. You just won't be allowed to take your child to school. Mm. The only area where there might be a legal repercussion is if it can be traced that you contracted a disease and passed it along to someone who couldn't be immunized, whether it's based on age or medicine. That family, and there has been some legal precedent for this, can sue you for endangering their child. Mm.
Dr. Lachiando, we're about 2 months away from the school year resuming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, a million years in kid time. But as you know, a blink of an eye here among adults. What's the number one piece of information you would want to get out in regards to your program, Get Immunized Idaho?
The number one piece of information I would say is how easy it is to get vaccines. We have something really nationwide, but especially in Idaho, I can speak to, called the Vaccine for Children program. That means that every child, 18 and under, can get vaccines covered at no cost. Either insurance will cover them and the entire copay if you are insured. Otherwise, if you have no insurance or Medicaid, the state covers the complete cost of the vaccination. So you can go really to any urgent care. You can go to Central District Health or Public Health Department. You can go to your own physician and get those vaccines for free at any time.
And you can apply at any time.
At any time.
But there are times before school begins when you need to have those shot cards filled out.
You need to have those shot cards filled out. You need to have documentation of those vaccines to bring your child to school on day one. Or if you need catch up, meaning can't get all of the vaccines at once, some of them take a series, you need to have a letter from your doctor saying, not only am I working on catch up, I intend to complete catch up by working with my physician.
We've been speaking with Dr. Alicia Lacciando, a pediatrician with St. Luke's Children's Treasure Valley Pediatrics, and works with Get Immunized Idaho. Thanks for joining us.
Excellent. Thank you for having me.